Moran. She is a second-year Wisconsin Population Health Service Fellow who completed her dual MPH-MS in Urban and Regional Planning from the University of Wisconsin in Madison in 2013. She is co-chair of the Wisconsin Health Impact Assessment and Health Innovation Policies section and facilitates the Wisconsin Public Health and Planning Collaborative. She's focusing her fellowship efforts on building multisectoral collaborations between public health and planning around policy, systems, and environmental changes to the built environment for chronic diseases prevention. Welcome.
Good morning, and thank you for all being here on a beautiful Wednesday. I know it's the last day of the conference, and you probably would all rather be outside, so I really appreciate that you're here, because I'm excited to talk about this today. So what I'm hoping to do today is really tell you a story about what's been going on in Wisconsin over the past several years, using health impact assessment as a tool to really be the platform, the springboard, from which we can bring together public health professionals and planners. And we have nothing to disclose. So just to really facilitate telling this story, I want to give you a brief outline of what I'm hoping to talk to you about this morning. So first, I just want to make sure that I noticed when Joe was presenting earlier, there were a few folks in the room who didn't really have much background in health impact assessment. So I just want to give a brief background on using health impact assessment as a tool for health and all policies, and how it can really help us incorporate the social determinants of health into decision-making processes. And then give you that Wisconsin context, tell you the story of what's been going on in Wisconsin around this collaborative work. And then focus on a particular health impact assessment case study, which, similar to Joanna and Laura's health impact assessment, has to do with a land use decision-making process. And then close with some lessons learned, both what we learned through this particular HIA case study, as well as lessons that we've learned in Wisconsin around multi-sectoral collaborations. So are any of you familiar with this model? Have any of you seen this before, besides maybe Megan in the back? Just Megan. Oh, a couple people. Great. So this model was put together by the Wisconsin Public Health Institute. It's a model that tries to explain the social determinants of health by various factors. And you know, the social determinants of health, I assume most of us are all familiar with that, but that's, you know, the conditions in which we are born, live, work, play, and age. The upstream factors that really influence our downstream health outcomes. And what I want to argue is that, so, you know, the HIA case study we're focusing in on today has to do with land use planning, so really that physical environment piece. This model attributes about 10% of the social determinants of health to the physical environment, and that incorporates environmental quality as well as the built environment. But what I want to say is it's really more like adding social and economic factors to the physical environment if we want to paint that really full picture of where we live, work, and play. You know, our socioeconomic setting determines whether or not the neighborhood we live in has sidewalks, if our children can walk to school, if there's a full-service grocery store. So what I'm going to say is land use decision-making really is a much bigger social determinant of health, and I would attribute about 50% to that. So there's a great need for incorporating social determinants of health into decision-making processes, as well as a need for tools to help us facilitate these processes, because most of the common chronic health issues that we face today really involve these upstream social determinants of health. According to Dr. Andrew Wernham, land use decisions can have far-reaching implications for a population's overall health, and for many specific health issues, such as rates of obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, mental health, and injury. Unfortunately, many of the decisions that are made today that affect health are made outside of the jurisdiction of public health and without the input of public health professionals, which is where a health and all policies framework really becomes important. Are you all familiar with the concept of health and all policies? Awesome. So then I can run through this really quickly. So health and all policies is really meant to improve the health of all people by incorporating health considerations into collaborative decision-making across sectors and policy areas, with the goal of ensuring that decision-makers are informed about the health, equity, and sustainability consequences of various policy options during the policy development process. And fortunately, Laura already gave us the definition of health impact assessment. What I want to hit on are just a few key takeaways, which are that it systematically uses an evidence-based approach. I believe Tiffany already mentioned this, but when we're talking about health in a health impact assessment, we're really talking about that lived experience, that broad definition of health, not just the absence of illness. That there are huge implications for health inequities that need to be addressed throughout the entire process. And that a health impact assessment is able to provide recommendations and mitigation strategies both back to the community that it is being conducted in, as well as to the decision makers. This is obviously not an HIA 101, so I'm not going to go into any detail on the six steps of health impact assessment. The point of the slide is really just to point out that throughout all six steps, stakeholder engagement is really, really crucial. Okay, so that was a little background piece setting the scene for what we're going to talk about now. Now I'd like to talk about that Wisconsin context of what has been going on in our state over the past several years in terms of this multi-sectoral collaborative work around health impact assessment, health and all policies. So in 2009, the Wisconsin Public Health Association HIA section was formally established. And that same year, section leaders at the state health department began building capacity, developing resources, and conducting HIA pilots. And the HIA section also wrote a letter of support at that time for that really long acronym, which is Capital Area Regional Planning Commission, one of several regional planning commissions in our state, which was conducting a land use planning process in their FUDAs, which stands for Future Urban Development Areas, or small communities within that geographic region that we're looking to create future growth plans. In 2011, the section started conducting this particular HIA, which is the case study I'll talk about momentarily. That work continued on into 2012, at which time we were able to pick up a few more projects, one of which was assisting in the research and writing of a health chapter for the City of Eau Claire Planning Department that was then incorporated into their comprehensive plan. We also at this time started creating an HIA toolkit. In 2013 and 14, representative from our HIA section sat on the conference planning committee of the American Planning Association chapter of Wisconsin. And in both 2013 and 14, we had joint HIA section and American Planning Association chapter of Wisconsin networking events. And in 2013, the Wisconsin Public Health Association HIA section wrote two resolutions, one of which was in regards to health and all policies, and another in which was in regards to these collaborations between public health planners and other individuals working on built environment work. We shared those resolutions with the American Planning Association chapter of Wisconsin, and both of those resolutions were passed by both organizations in 2014. In 2013, we also created the Wisconsin Public Health Association Wisconsin Public Health and Planning Collaborative, which is a networking and learning group of public health professionals and planners across the state. In 2014, we were fortunate enough to be able to jointly apply for and receive funding from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to put on a conference this past April on bridging public health and planning. And most recently, we joined forces with the Wisconsin Public Health Association HIA section and the Wisconsin Public Health Association, Wisconsin Public Health and Planning Collaborative. Too many acronyms. So as you can see from that timeline, we've had a lot of activities going on over the past few years that have really brought together these two fields to work collaboratively. So I'm just going to briefly run through this case study. Again, as I mentioned, this case study has to do with land use planning. And in 2007, the Capital Area Regional Planning Commission was charged with creating and assisting with future urban development areas, the goal of which was to assist small communities within that geographic region, which happens to be Dane County, where Madison, Wisconsin is located, with creating future growth plans. The Capital Area Regional Planning Commission wanted to know what the human health impacts of the various different growth plan scenarios might be, so they invited public health to the conversation, and that was really the impetus for this health impact assessment. So before we even came on the scene as a health impact assessment, there was already work going on around these communities' future growth plans. So the work started with the creation of some local steering committees. And then, like I already mentioned, CARPC invited public health to the table. Each of the FUDAs, Future Urban Development Areas, created three different growth plan scenarios, some of which were more dense, some of which were less dense. Each of the scenarios were evaluated across 12 indicators, two of which were specifically geared towards health. And then there was a developmentation and implementation of recommendations. So the goals for this particular HIA were threefold. One was to assess the potential human health impacts of the three different growth plan scenarios. Another was to provide recommendations back to the Community Steering Committee. And thirdly, we recognized that this was an HIA on land use planning, which was a little bit new back at the time, and so we wanted to use this as a case study to disseminate to inform future partnerships between planners and public health. Through the scoping process, the communities involved were able to determine prioritized health areas, which happened to be for livability of seniors, as well as physical activity and obesity. And then finally, we were able to provide recommendations back to that community steering committee, which included incorporating sidewalks into any new plans or revisions of plans, incorporation of bike lanes, sharrows, and paths, walking paths that specifically looked at the needs of those senior citizens, incorporation of social gathering places, and the creation of a local food council to increase access to local healthy foods. So now I just want to close with lessons learned, both lessons learned in regards to this particular HIA case study, as well as lessons learned from our multi-sectoral collaboration. So I was able, through my graduate studies, to conduct a process evaluation of stakeholder engagement around this particular case study. So I just want to share a few key takeaways from that research. The first is that to continue growing the use of HIA for land use planning, there's a need for continued collaboration between public health professionals and planners. That greater stakeholder participation is needed for any well-informed HIA because it increases the feasibility and acceptance of final HIA recommendations. It empowers local community members and forges new working relationships between diverse groups. That the actual process of this HIA brought attention to specific community health concerns, again, that livability of seniors and physical activity and obesity, these concerns may not otherwise have been addressed, if not for this HIA. That HIAs may need to be modified in the future to become more streamlined, something like a checklist, which was mentioned earlier, because urban planners really do want to bring that health lens to their planning process, but they don't necessarily have the time to learn how to conduct an HIA. So maybe something more like a checklist could be incorporated into the process to still make sure that that health lens is included in the planning process. That lasting partnerships were created and continued to grow between public health and planning. That this HIA added value to the HIA community by providing lessons learned in regards to both multi-sectoral collaborations and using HIA as a tool for health and all policies around land use planning. And finally, that HIA is a useful tool for planners to incorporate a health lens into the planning process. So finally, I want to close with what we've really learned over our past few years of working across sectors in Wisconsin around this work. This first, how to make it work, this we're probably all familiar with this. We've all worked across sectors and nothing new here, but you know, we're all guilty of using jargon. We have so many acronyms, so much jargon in public health. Well, so do planners, and so do transportation planners, and so does everybody else. So to really build those relationships, it's worth taking the time to learn that language, getting a cup of coffee, sharing with each other what it is that we do. And then also frequent communication. As projects come down the pipeline, letting each other know about them, because there's a good chance that we can work together on some of them. Sorry, a little loud back here. We feel that the work that we've done has had a significant amount of impact across the state of Wisconsin. The HIA section has built capacity around using health impact assessment as a tool within a framework of health and all policies. We've done this through HIA and HIAP trainings and guest lectures. We've also been very intentional and explicit in our partnerships in using HIA. that when we're using it, we're not using it just as a tool, but we're using it in the service of advancing health equity. And we've seen shifts in our organizational structures. We've affected zoning policies and influenced boards of health. Now, one example of this is one of my colleagues used to be, her title was health educator, and now it's healthy community planner. So we're seeing shifts like that that really show that people are catching on and there are changes being made. We've also been positioned ourselves to be able to take advantage of some really critical opportunities. For example, the case study I just mentioned, we had already started establishing relationships with planners in our community so that we could have that cup of coffee and find out about this project and decide how we could collaborate together on that. We've intentionally sought out opportunities to work with planners in transportation and other sectors involved in the built environment work. And we, as I mentioned, have also been really lucky that we've been able to apply for and jointly receive funding to continue building this collaborative work. So I just want to leave you with what's next. Some of you are probably already familiar with some recent APHA funding that came out from the CDC to support local coalitions and efforts to reduce chronic disease in communities across Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Health Association and American Planning Chapter of Wisconsin are all set and ready to go to apply for that, so that's really exciting. And we're continuing to formalize our collaborations at the local level through increased formality and regularity and consistency of how we interact on our structures and processes, hoping to create some more resolutions around those things as the future continues. And then finally, working to continue establishing new partnerships and fostering those relationships that we've already made. So we feel like we've made great progress in Wisconsin, but there's still so much more to do. So I want to leave you with that. And before I take any questions, I do want to acknowledge some crucial folks who I could not have done this work without: the Capital Area Regional Planning Commission and the Future Urban Development stakeholders who participated in this project, especially those who let me interview them for the stakeholder evaluation. The other members of the Wisconsin Public Health Association HIA-HIP section for their participation and all the work they've done on this. And a huge thank you to Paul Trinzio, who's sitting right over here, who everything I know about HIA-HIP is from her. And so if there are any tricky questions, I'm going to ask her to help me answer them. So with that, I want to thank you again for your time and for being here, and would love to answer any questions. We had an HIA webinar, oh gosh, I think it might be 2 years ago now, where we pulled together folks in our HIA section but invited our planning friends around, was it frac sand mining, which is a big deal in western Wisconsin and has a lot to do with zoning, and we were able to pull folks together around that issue, but I think HIA, the premise for this talk is a really great place to pull planners and public health professionals to the same table, especially if it has to do with land use. Mm-hmm. There is a great tool that I think NATO put it out. It's on the APA website. I have coined my own term for it, which is the jargon tool. I don't know the actual name of the tool. It's really easy to find, and I could actually email it to you if you want me to. But it's specifically outlined for this purpose. It has public health jargon, and it has planner jargon, and it explains what it is, and it's a tool meant to help facilitate these conversations. Yeah. I can try. She's really the expert about that. So APA just put out a grant that is, again, correct me if I'm wrong, Paula, but sort of a continuation of the Community Transformation Grant funding that was recently ended. So it's really to continue those efforts, just with a different name. And we were just having a conversation about it the other day, and The funding is really, it's going through local chapters of the American Planning Association, but the goal is to fund these collaborations between public health and planning. And I believe the funding is about $150,000 over 15 months. And I could hook you up to that website and more information. I'm sorry, I don't remember all the details off the top of my head. Any other questions? All right, thank you.